in Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The death toll now tops 5,000 from yesterday's powerful 7.8 earthquake along the Turkish-Syrian border. Search teams and emergency aid are pouring in from around the world as rescuers dig through the rubble in freezing cold weather, hoping to find survivors. Correspondent Cammy McCormick.
In the Syrian city of Aleppo,
it's now a race against time.
World Health Organization Chief Tedros Ghebreyesus says many areas may still be inaccessible.
We're especially concerned about areas where we do not yet have information.
Damage mapping is being conducted to understand where the focus should be. Search teams are arriving from around the world.
Turkey's president has declared a three-month state of emergency. President Biden says he hopes to have a conversation with the American people during tonight's State of the Union address. Our new CBS News poll finds he might be disappointed if they could respond. Deputy Director of Surveys Jennifer DePinto.
When we asked people to describe the state of the country, they picked the word divided most of all. 62% of Americans said that, and many also said declining and weak. Far fewer, just about 1 in 10, said strong or prospering when describing the country.
The U.S. trade deficit widened in December by 10.5% to its widest gap on record. The Commerce Department says dependence on imports grew as demand for consumer goods and cars picked up. BP Oil is reporting record profits of more than $27 billion for 2022. That's double the year before. Alice Harrison with the nonprofit group Global Witness accuses the industry of profiting from tragedy.
There is the war in the Ukraine, which is a war that's being waged with oil and gas money. And of course, there's the climate crisis. And at the center of all of those crises are a handful of oil and gas companies that last year got even richer.
The judge says prosecutors at Alex Murdoch's murder trial can use important evidence of financial crimes against the disgraced lawyer. Correspondent Nikki Batiste is in Walterboro, South Carolina.
2 weeks after this trial began, the judge's ruling marks a potential breakthrough for the prosecution. They say Alex Murdoch was stealing money from his law firm and clients and claim he killed his wife and son to gain sympathy before his alleged fraud came to light.
Health experts are worried the craze over prescription drugs that help you slim down are keeping them out of the hands of diabetics and the severely obese. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder says the side effects of Ozempic and Wegovy can be hard to take.
Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. Some people really can't tolerate these drugs because the nausea is so bad. You know, it depends. Some people can tolerate them, some people can't.
The Dow's down 107 points. This is CBS News.
You know,
could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts, we've got the smarts.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, February 8th. In Wood County, the McMillan Memorial Library Personnel Committee will meet at 4 p.m., followed by the Buildings and Grounds Committee at 4:30 and the Library Finance Committee at 5 p.m. The City of Wisconsin Rapids Police and Fire Commission public meeting will take place at 7:30 a.m. The Wastewater Treatment Commission meeting will be held at 1:30 p.m. The Waterworks and Lighting Commission regular meeting will be at 2 p.m. In Portage County, the Housing Authority Board of Commissioners will meet at 4 p.m. at the Housing Authority office. In Adams County, the Public Safety and Judiciary Committee meeting has been canceled. The Traffic Safety meeting will take place from 2 to 3:30 p.m. The Public Works meeting will run from 5 to 6 p.m. and the Landfill Advisory Committee meeting will run from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at Strong's Prairie Town Hall. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Highs level off around 37. This afternoon, under partly cloudy skies, westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 19. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Mainly sunny skies. Tomorrow, highs level off around 41. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Oh, how about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Everything is on demand now. But there's something about that appointment watching of HBO that's still there.
It's also called the art of the tease, and that's how they get you.
I'm trying to think, what's my tease for tomorrow?
Kristen sets herself on fire. Tune in at 11:20, and then we'll tell you why.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the 1 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am your host, Kristen Bry. We got Jane Madinere, producer extraordinaire, on the board. We are wrapping up today's show, marching into the third hour. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing our show, because word of mouth is the most powerful recommendation way we're going to grow, because you love our show. So you should tell other people how much they would love our show.
Yeah.
Whether you can listen live from 11 to 2 or later as a podcast, anywhere you find podcasts, or at asgoeswisconsin.com/live, where I try to encapsulate what we talked about, put links to the people that we spoke to as guests, different articles that I use to inform the conversation.
There's seriously, it's such a valuable resource, Kristen. It is.
That was, I would say, you know, because it's not like I come up with this stuff out of thin air. I very much rely on the content creation, if that's what you want to bluntly call it, of other journalists across so many different outlets, including our next topic, which I actually think is going to be a fun thing to do. We might take it out throughout February, but in January, we had found an article from The Guardian, which was 100 ways to slightly improve your life without a lot of effort. And we would read a couple each day, debate whether or not we thought they were something that we wanted to include into our life. And then for the February issue of New York Magazine, it's still advice, but it's less about improving your life and more about etiquette rules for 2023.
Yes, and navigating the new.
The world that we live in now, and if Emily Post were alive today and to teach us what we can and cannot do, and the final line on what is rude and what is not. But of course, it's not the end of that discussion. And so we thought we would take this list of 194 tips,
hefty,
and just do a couple per day and then decide whether or not we agree with New York Magazine on their call of whether or not that is an appropriate way to behave in this situation.
All right.
So if you have immediate reactions, we welcome you to join the conversation, 844-967-2789. As far as this first one, I think we might get some people who have some feelings about this. You may callously cancel almost any plans up until 2 p.m. the day of.
No.
You're saying no?
No.
Ooh. All right. This is the more detail that they give. But let us know. Can you callously cancel almost any plans up until 2 p.m. the day of? And if your answer is no, what is your cutoff of when you can cancel plans? Like after what point in the day or the day before can you no longer politely cancel plans? 844-967-2789. But this is what they say. At 2 p.m., there's still ample time for your friend, if they so choose, to text around and find another dinner companion. By 3, they almost certainly will be alone for the night. This doesn't apply if you want to cancel on someone who is cooking for you. In that situation, you have to tell them the night before.
Now, that I agree with. If someone is cooking a meal for you, unless you're sick.
Yes.
But even then, if you're ill, you should contact them in the morning when you realize you're sick and tell them that you're sick.
Yeah.
The whole waiting until 2 o'clock and so you can find someone to slip in, aren't you just announcing that they're sloppy seconds? If you call friends at 2:30 on a Saturday night and you have reservations for 4, what do you say? Well, we were just thinking about going to dinner and we made reservations for 4 without asking if anybody else wanted to come. Or do you admit to them that their first choice backed out?
Well, and it's also interesting because the way that they phrase this is it. I feel like I read that as a one-on-one dinner. And at least in my world, when I make dinner plans with someone one-on-one, it's because I am trying to catch up with that person. Not that I am trying to go out with anyone, just because I'm trying to have dinner out that night. And so in your situation, it makes more sense. It's like, I made this reservation for 4 people. We still have 4 people, or a table for 4. So let's see if we can find someone else to fill that reservation versus, well, why would I, if I had plans to catch up with you, you telling me at 2 that you can't come, my instinct isn't going to be, well, I'm going to find someone else to go to dinner with. My instinct is I'm not going to dinner tonight with this person anymore, so I no longer have plans.
Right. So again, there's a little more contextual. It's going to depend upon the circumstances. And if you're really good friends, that's another thing entirely.
But I also like the words of callously cancel. Does that just mean you changed your mind? Or is there a valid excuse as far as I'm sick or work is killing me? Or I have a deadline. Like, yep. This doesn't really get into the what you have to use as an excuse that this becomes not highly annoying.
Callously canceled just sounds like you changed your mind and you don't want to go.
I'm predicting this now because this is in New York Magazine. How much we're going to disagree with them because there's just different rules in New York than there are in Wisconsin.
I don't think you're wrong.
Like, I think even in the fact that the first one out of the gate yesterday was you don't have to read all of your friends' books insinuates that you have tons of friends who are just publishing books.
Right. Yes, right.
Or putting plays up on Off-Broadway.
Right.
And have the new, have an article in, like a 10-page article in The Atlantic.
Texter from the 262 checking in on when it is appropriate to cancel reservations with friends. Texter says, if you've got kids at home, you can cancel anytime. That is kind of a free pass, isn't it? If you have children, isn't that one of the reasons why they're there? So you can get out of things?
I mean, that's the reason why I want to have kids. Like, use them as an excuse for everything. Get out of jail free card.
Exactly.
All the time. Except apparently on Christmas when the car falls apart and you still have to show up to grandma's house.
Still got
to
go.
All right, we'll fit one more in. This is number 3. Don't be loudly naive about dating apps if you're in a relationship. So this is, okay, I'll read it and then we'll talk about it. And reminder, I did meet my husband on a dating app prior to meeting him in the advent of Tinder back in like 2013. I spent a lot of time on dating apps. Let's just put it that way.
And you're not alone.
Versus I'm guessing that you have not.
No.
All right, your single friends have likely put up with a host of your well-intended yet annoying behaviors. That time you invited your significant other to tag along without asking. Those other times you offered to set them up with your significant other's unemployed friends. You may think that asking basic questions about their newfangled dating apps, so which way do you swipe again? Shows interest and engagement in their love lives, but your wide-eyed curiosity could just as easily come across as patronizing. And as a subtle reminder of your own blissful situation from the dumpster fire that is app dating. So basically they're saying the people like, so in this situation, like if we
would be me.
If I was single and I was still dating on apps and stuff and you thought you were being cute, like, well, I don't know, how does this even work? Like, these apps have come along
since I've been deliriously happy.
I was already married and blah, 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 and it's a brave new world, blah, 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 blah. So I agree with that one. I'm going to say, I agree that if you are not privy to the dumpster fire that can be dating apps, don't make fun of it.
I take the complete opposite view.
Really?
Get over yourselves, you sensitive, melting snowflakes. Honestly, how have you made it to adulthood? Everything is so, oh, you hurt my feelings.
Well, we're not talking about gross, because this is etiquette, right? I mean, if we think about this in the world of Emily Post and which fork you're supposed to use, it's just as easy to say, this is dumb. I'm just going to use a fork. Right? And if we're talking about etiquette, I feel like is this word of like the should-be's of in a situation where you could or you couldn't, the advice is don't. Now, is it the end of the world if you do? No. But I think at least if we're going to do this exercise for the whole month, Jay, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of these that are like, are you serious? Get over yourself.
Come on. I mean, don't be a poop about it and mock people who are looking for love. But if you genuinely don't understand how these things work, isn't that a valid question?
Should we sign you up for an app so you can play with it?
No. I don't want that either. No.
I can't wait to get into more of the dating app etiquette that they have in here. All right. Do we have time for one more?
We have a minute and a half.
All right. I'm going to read it. When shopping with a friend, don't cut them in the rack. What does that mean? This is doubly true in a vintage shop where you should also offer to let them try on the things you've decided not to buy.
So if somebody hits a great find first, don't try and dive in there and take it from them.
Oh, yeah. That feels obvious.
Isn't it?
Is this something that
people do
when they're shopping together? Is
competitive shopping?
Oh, that sounds miserable.
Yes.
All right. So at least we can end on one that we agree on. When shopping with a friend, don't cut them in the rack. I don't even know what that means. All right. When we come back, where does the term bubbler come from? We're going to talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Heaven's sakes, is that a spot? Clean it up. We want the company. We've got a lot to do. Is it one love or two? For you, our guest.
She's our guest.
She's our guest.
She's our guest. Our guest will be your guest.
Over here, line up. Now,
we've had anybody here, and we're obsessed. It's your deal.
Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
As a mom and a teacher, I've done it all. Fundraisers, field trips, school assemblies. It's what we do for our children. Whether you're a public school parent, educator, or both, we share one goal: giving our children the best education. The Wisconsin Education Association Council looks forward this school year to partnering with you. Our children's success depends on it. Join us at weac.org. Welcome back to school.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Here's a fine state. Where would you reside? Not quite to Canada. Great Lakes are by her side. Home of Aldo Leopold, Big Sky, and Orson Welles. Steve Miller Band, lots of used up shotgun shells. Where everyone's your neighbor, beer, cheese, and fish fried. And you don't just say you're leaving, you say goodbye 15 times.
Okay, bye-bye now. See you guys later. Hey, keep her moving.
So
welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Matinera is on the board. And we are talking about, that's a very good segue with the Charlie Barons, because as someone who has made a career out of Wisconsin tropes, this has to be one of the big ones.
And just quickly about Charlie Barons, he is now part of the Civic Media family.
Yes, if you missed that announcement, and if you've missed some of our commercials, Cripescast is his podcast that he's been doing for a couple years, but now we are the exclusive radio provider of Cripescast, and you can hear it across the Civic Media Network on noon on both Saturdays and Sundays, and we couldn't be happier to have him part of our little family. And were you able to listen at all? Have you ever, because you don't listen to podcasts, so I know you hadn't heard it before it was on the radio.
It's on my assignment sheet for this week.
All right. I'll send you the one I was on.
Oh, good.
I don't know if it's as enjoyable as the Leroy Butler one, but...
You almost have the status of Leroy
Butler.
Totally.
Yeah. So, of course, this is a perfect topic for this hour, which is, do you know why we call it Bubblers? And if you have a guess, we would love to hear it, because I didn't know. Do you know?
I have some guesses.
All right. Well, if you have a guess or if you know for sure, 844-967-2789, but you got to hurry, because if you don't call or text before we start reading the actual answer, you're SOL. But what is your guess?
Does it have something to do with, like, bigger fountains?
Not according to this article.
Okay.
And so this popped up last week, and Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has a new feature, fun, kind of lighthearted thing called What the Wisconsin, and it's where experts are ready to take on questions large and small about Milwaukee and Wisconsin, and then when they can, they turn that into stories. I think WPR does something similar called Why Wisconsin. I think it's called that. And so it's like, it's fun
little factoids
of why do we do the things that we do, and then we clearly, because Wisconsin loves Wisconsin, embraces it so aggressively. Because according to the research that they did, you know, drinking fountains themselves go back to ancient times, and so they've been around forever. But the idea of cleaner drinking water and the idea of water coming up versus just kind of like a well started coming into cities in the late 19th century. And there was drinking, there started being drinking fountains everywhere, including Wisconsin.
So that's the late 1800s.
So the late 1880s is when bubblers / drinking fountains started popping up in Milwaukee.
Okay.
And, but in that time, because the Milwaukee Journal, well, Journal, the Journal and Sentinel, because that they were separate, but the Milwaukee Journal and the Milwaukee Sentinel both referred to them as drinking fountains, not bubblers. And it, according to here, it doesn't, I think the first time the either paper refers to it as a bubbler is 1910, when they called them sanitary bubblers. And then the prefixes fell away during the 1920s, where they were just bubblers instead of sanitary bubblers or fountain bubblers or water bubblers.
So this must be related to some outbreak of something.
So what they're saying is they think it might have been because of Kohler.
The Kohler Company.
The Kohler Company, which we talked about yesterday in their partnership with the Holidays in refurnishing bathrooms for women's shelters. But according to the Dictionary of American Regional English, the massive dialect dictionary produced over half a century ago at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, one of the first uses of bubbler in connection with a drinking fountain was in material from Kohler Company in Sheboygan around 1914, citing a Kohler fountain that was, quote, fitted with nickel-plated brass self-closing bubbling valve, adjustable for continuous flow of water, can also furnish continuous flow bubbler with above fountain. So it was, I'm sure, one of their either catalogs or advertisements of this Kohler product that was a bubbler, and that's what they called it. And so, but if you'll note, it's a adjective there, not a noun.
Right.
So then they said the bubbler usage, this is for someone who was a editor at Wisconsin Public Radio in 2015, said that the bubbler usage mirrors the marketing area of the Kohler Company of 1918, chiefly in eastern Wisconsin. And especially in southeastern Wisconsin. So,
there you go.
Because I don't feel like in Madison, it's as, like, if you say drinking fountain, no one's going to be like, you mean bubbler? Like, I think they're kind of used interchangeably versus in Milwaukee and down here, I feel like is much more, no, that's a bubbler.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a bubbler. And it's interesting, years ago when I was sent to Nashville to broadcast from there, and my then partner and I had different Wisconsin phrases that we would just walk up to people and ask them if they knew what it meant.
You just did this for fun?
Well, we did it for the show.
Oh, for the show. Okay.
And we walked up to a bunch of construction guys and asked them what a bubbler was. And they all burst out laughing really sheepishly. And then one of them finally said, well, that's related to a strip club, isn't it?
What?
I know.
Is that a stripper move?
Or a name? Is it a strip of bubbles? Is it a stripper name? I don't know.
You didn't have a follow-up question?
They just thought it was hilarious, and that it's like, okay.
Well, you know where else bubbler is big? Australia.
Really?
Yeah, I guess in a lively discussion on Reddit last year, folks in Queensland, New South Wales, Australia were very adamant that they are also prone to use the word bubbler, so there are some factoids for you, but you can check out What the Wisconsin at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll be right back.
Cripes, there's nothing better in the world than watching a bunch of unthawed sausages race around Miller Park. Hey, put your money on
the Sha 101 FM. From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You could say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you could write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
Chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. The warmer temperatures are causing snowmobile trail closures in the area. The Wood County Parks and Forestry Department announced that all snowmobile trails in Wood County are closed effective immediately, except the trails maintained by the Bakerville Snow Rovers. Those remain open at this time. Other trails in the county will reopen if we receive sufficient snowfall. Wisconsin renters may benefit from federal government initiatives to preserve affordable housing this year. Changes may include a rent cap on some tax credit-funded properties and more leniency for some tenants behind on rent. The National Apartment Association is disappointed by the new policies. They believe complex housing policy is a state and local issue and the government shouldn't get involved. Civil rights, legal committees, and housing councils are praising the move to ensure all Americans have safe, decent, and affordable housing. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Highs level off around 37 this afternoon under partly cloudy skies, westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 19. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Mainly sunny skies. Tomorrow, highs level off around 41. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
Listening, thank you for joining us. Thank you for texting, calling, being part of the show, emailing us ideas. This is a collaborative effort, and we appreciate you. And I appreciate this press tour. I don't know if I will appreciate the movie. I probably won't see it in theaters. I don't even know if it's offered in theaters. But watching the clips coming from this press tour of these four icons is very fun. Of course, I am talking about 80 for Brady.
It's a movie.
It's a movie starring Rita Moreno. And Jane Fonda, and Lily Tomlin, and Sally Fields. And so it is, they are going on their press tour to promote this movie. So from what I understand what the movie is, well, we have a trailer. So let's play the trailer, and then we'll talk about what the movie is actually about.
Game's about to start.
There's Tom.
Oh, what a beautiful man.
I like Gronkowski.
We know, Trish. We've all read your Gronk erotica.
It's not erotica. It's fan fiction. Very sexy fan fiction.
Aren't you tired of the same old boring lives? Let's go to the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl is no place for four old women.
This could be Tom's last one. He's almost 40. That's like 80 in people years.
Yeah, we're 80 in people years.
So, I'm not a huge Tom Brady fan. I don't know if this movie is going to be any good, but these four women, I mean, the awards alone, these four women have won, and I can only imagine how much fun they had filming this and much fun they're having going around doing press for this. Because I think that for me right now so outshines whatever the movie ends up being. And I guess for you, because you were close, you grew up with these actresses,
yes,
even more than I did, and they are older than you, but certainly you are closer to their age. So when they make movies like this that feel, because the other one that, you know, where there was Book Club a couple years ago, that was instead, it was the Jane Fonda was still in it, but it was Diane Keaton, Mary Streisenberg?
Steenburgen?
Steenburgen, yes. Who's the fourth? It was a similar movie, though. It was a book club with four incredible but older actresses about, you know, kind of like a lighthearted comedy. And I think it made over like $100 million when it was all like worldwide, when it was all said and done. So there's clearly a market that
is not being served by Hollywood.
Being served. And granted, these are
Candace Bergen.
Thank you, Candace Bergen. And so, like, and the thing is, it's like these are some of the most incredible actresses of a generation. And there's probably another conversation to be had that there's these kind of silly movies are the biggest payday they can get instead of more serious roles. But, like, do you feel, does this, having a movie like this and the press around it, like, does that make you feel anyway?
I will go see it.
Okay.
Because it is based on a true story.
Which is wild.
Yeah. It is based on a true story about these four friends who are huge football fans and were huge Tom Brady fans and wanted to go to the Super Bowl to shake things up in their own lives. After that, I don't know how much reality, yes, and fantasy meld, but those four women, have you said, are so iconic. And Rita Moreno's in her 90s.
She's in her 90s. She also, as we talked yesterday about Viola Davis getting her EGOT at the Grammys, Rita Moreno, EGOT winner. And so that was what was funny. I think there was one of the, one of the interviews that they were doing that the four of them were comparing notes on their awards. And so while Lily Tomlin has the most Emmy nominations Lily Tomlin's been nominated over 24 times for the Emmys.
Has she never won?
I don't know how many times she's won, but that just the amount of like times that she's been nominated. She's only won one, and she's the only one without an Oscar.
Wow.
But the other three all have Oscars. And so it's like, but there's the clips that are coming out of this that are so fun as far as just watching them have the time of their lives. And that's be almost more entertaining, I think, than whether or not we pay a ticket to go see the movie.
We got Dave on the phone from Brookfield at 844-967-2789 talking about the movie 80 for Brady. You and your wife just saw it.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Ah!
Just a lot of fun. The actresses are just fantastic. I mean, like you said, it looked like they had a good time making it. The other thing I was going to say is that they're coming out with a new book club, a second series on a book club.
I did not know that.
Did you go see that with your wife too, Dave?
Yeah.
You did?
Pardon?
Did you go
see? Well, we didn't see. I mean, it's advertised. It was one of the trailers in the for the 80 to Brady.
Did you see the first one, though? Did you see the first book club?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, sure.
You are
My wife dragged me there, but it was fun.
You are a good husband. You are a good husband to go with your wife to that.
We put up with each other for 54 years. So
here's another. Did you guys watch Grace and Frankie then?
No.
Oh, I would. If you liked both of those movies, yeah. I would highly recommend checking out Grace and Frankie on Netflix, because it's also with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda, and it is.
It's brilliant.
It's so good. It's such a good TV show.
You know, the problem is there's just too much out there.
That is true.
Thanks so much for calling, Dave.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good one.
But I think it taps into, like, I will see this as a youngish person.
Yeah.
I will mostly see it because I love these actresses. So it's a question of, would this movie work, this or Book Club work, if it wasn't legendary, like legends as the starring in it? Probably not.
Probably
even
not.
Really good actresses, but they just didn't have the name recognition. I don't know.
No, these four are powerhouses.
But it's so interesting watching, because the idea of how much fun they're having on the press tour, I saw from a now pretty viral clip. I think this was on CBS Sunday Morning, that the four of them were all together. And Jane Fonda, who's, I don't know if she's the most outspoken. She might be the most outspoken of the four of them. She is.
Jane and Lily are probably pretty close.
Yeah. And she explains how she sought friendships. And I think, you know, and I when we come back, I want to talk about, is there a difference between men and women in friendships? And how intentional can you be until it crosses over into, like, stalker-ish?
Women's friendships are very different than men's friendships, and they're very important to our health. Because you guys, you kind of sit side by side and watch sports or cars or women. Women sit facing each other, eye to eye, and they say, I'm in trouble, I need you, can you help me? You know, we're not afraid of being vulnerable. My favorite ex-husband, who's Ted Turner, said to me, you don't make new friends after 60. But I think that he's really wrong. That what you have to do is you have to be intentional. Like, I never used to be intentional. I would meet Sally Field, for example, but not pursue her. Well, I did pursue you.
Oh, goodness sakes, I couldn't make you stop.
Yeah. Because she tends to be reclusive.
Is that right?
And I pursued you. You have to pursue people that you want to be friends with, and you have to say, I'm intentionally wanting to be your friend. And it works. People hear that, and then they stick around, and you develop new friendships.
I don't really like people that much.
No, I really don't either.
I try to avoid them.
Me too.
But those who are intentional, you just can't get away from them.
Yeah. So you just give in.
They won't go away.
There's so much in that clip I want to unpack, because it starts with the difference between male and female friendships, which I think, and this is a blanket statement, and obviously there are exceptions, but I would say that that's really true as far as so many men in their friendships, and she says, sit next to each other as they participate in something versus sit across from each other and talk.
Right.
Versus the need for connection with our friends and talking versus the activity, although they are saying don't cut someone off in the rack. So clearly some people are activity while they're spending time with their friends.
Right.
But I think that's probably true.
I don't disagree. And I think we are learning more as a society of how unfortunate that is for men, because I believe men's lives would be much, much better if they could communicate to one another better instead of just enjoying, as you said, an event together. That's terrific. But when we talk about depression and loneliness and suicides and all of those things, if men had a healthier connection with other a male support system.
Besides just their wives or their girlfriends.
Yes. I think they would be happier, and I think their lives would be better.
Because Jane Fonda said in the clip, she's like, it's for our health, but it's also, it could be for men's health. They just necessarily aren't in line with that. But then it was so interesting as far as the intentionality, and clearly they're joking a little bit, But it is like she's pretty honest that she's like, I made Sally Field be my friend. So I was like, oh my God.
I just chased her down until she gave up.
You tell her to go away. And do you, because I'm much more extroverted than you, and I'm trying to think, like, because I meet people sometimes, and it is with the time that, you know, it's hard because of time. Once you become an adult and you're not in college or high school and you see, or, you know, and this is why we become friends with people at work, because you have to see them every day. But the people that you meet, you're like, I want to be friends with you. And the line between taking a hint or just saying, I know that you are more reclusive and that I need to be the one to make the effort in, if I want this friendship to be a thing. And I think that's a good, if instead of being passive, I think it's a good thing to kind of be assertive, maybe not aggressive, but assertive as far as like, I want to be friends with you. And so I'm going to try to make that happen.
I don't have a problem with that. However, again, if you text four times trying to set something up and you keep getting rebuffed, then that's probably enough. Because as you said, when do you cross the line into stalker? If you keep bothering someone who obviously is not interested in the hand that you're putting out there.
And I think this comes, that's a good point. And it also comes back to the idea, and sometimes this advice is given in regards to dating, but I guess it could also be applied to budding friendships of who is making the effort to, are you free? Are you free? And even if you are the receiving side or you're the one who's making the intention and the receiver of your intentions is just constantly busy, they may actually be busy. But it's also the idea that we choose and prioritize the things that we want to do. And so the idea that potentially if you're trying to make a new friendship, and as Jane just said, the idea that they kind of either don't respond to you or they do respond and they just never make time, it may not be reciprocal because people make time for the things that they actually want to do. And so it's interesting though. Like I saw that clip and I thought there's so much there to unpack because it's on the side of friendships are important. Female friendships, I think, are much more emotionally connected. I think you can, I mean, you would know better than I, but I think it's hard to make friendships as adults, but you can do it.
Yes, you certainly can.
But it sometimes takes work and reciprocation.
It can't all be one-sided.
Yeah.
It just can't. Because as I have gotten older, that has affected me more, I think. If I am continually making the reach, if I'm continually setting up our times together, if I'm continually the only one who's reaching out. And it's like, well, maybe this isn't worth it. Mm-hmm. You do have to reciprocate if you want that relationship to continue.
I agree.
Well, relationships take work.
Relationships take.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us.
We go through safety training and try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to FarmSafe811.org.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack, triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
One day more, another day, another destiny, this never-ending road to Calvary.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
That's completely apropos of nothing.
I was going to say, why are we, what's tomorrow?
It has nothing to do with anything. We just haven't heard that song in a long time, and I know we're both big fans.
We are big fans. We are big fans of that show. We are big fans of that song. But yeah, you started playing it, and I was like, what? Hmm? What do we have tomorrow?
Just so, well, let's play a little Les Mis.
We do have Greg Bach tomorrow.
We do.
He will be back. We do have Dan Schaefer tomorrow at 11:30. He's going to talk. His newest article for the recombobulation area is on the Supreme Court. So it should be interesting to get his take on where we started today's show, which is Judge Jennifer Doro hiding her biography? And so maybe
this is from an article in Urban Milwaukee. Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see if Mr. Schaefer has any feelings on that. We're going to close. You don't even know this yet. So sports cards. I'm assuming you've never been a collector of sports cards.
No.
My husband, who is an event planner.
Right.
Big fan of sports cards. And he is hosting his first ever sports card show on Saturday in partnership with the Bucks.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's the advantages of being married to someone who has a radio show. So he is going to join us at the end of tomorrow to talk about the show. So for people who are out there who are sports cards collectors or fanatics, or you have a son or maybe a parent who loves sports cards, you can check out Swarm Events and their sports card events that's happening this weekend on Saturday over at Gather, which is the event space right across from Fiserv. So I thought we'd have a fun conversation about trying to explain once again the appeal of these little pieces of cardboard for those of us who are not collectors.
That's one way where men bond.
And that is a very gendered hobby. I would say as many times as I've had to listen to sports cards podcasts, which exist and are very popular. And I would, he's gone to some other sports card shows and not a lot of women there.
Ooh, shocker. they do entire podcasts talking about sports cards.
Yeah.
And the most desirable ones or the hardest ones to get, or,
you know, I'm going to be totally honest.
I love that uniform.
I usually am tuned out on long car rides. And the truth, he's driving, so he gets to choose most of the time.
That's fair.
And it's fair because I'll either fall asleep or I'm working on something else or I'm playing my mindless games. And I feel like the conversations are typically around whether or not to hold on to a card or sell it. Because what I've learned, and we're talking about this more tomorrow, but what I've learned is it's, you know, the sports card world is almost like the stock market in that it's an investment. You invest in this little piece of cardboard, and based on things that happen in the world of sports, and sometimes not even sports, because I'm going to screw this up, but Ja Morant, who's a NBA player, very good NBA player, plays for Memphis Grizzlies. I'm hoping I'm not screwing that up. Last year, there was a card, and there was a picture of a rapper in the background of his card, and that rapper died. And so all of a sudden, that card, the value of that card skyrocketed.
Wow.
And Mike had one of those cards, so he was very excited, which is why I know this. And so there is a whole world, and it excites him a lot, and it obviously excites a lot of people a lot, because there are shows, there are podcasts. And so if you are a fan of sports cards or collectibles in general, I would say, because I think there's Pokemon cards and there's other things that fall under this value we subscribe or prescribe to things that the actual physical value of them is not that. We're going to have a conversation about it to end the show tomorrow. And you should definitely check out the card show in downtown next to Fiserv this weekend. And
it's a thing.
It's a thing. It's a thing. It's a fun thing to poke fun of him at, but he loves it, and I support him.
Of course you do. You're newlyweds. That's lovely. Hey, we got a text from the 608, and you can always get in touch with us at 844-967-2789. You can text it. You can call that number as well. But this is a texter who said, I'm listening to you live on the app in Cancun.
Ooh.
Sitting on the beach, it's 85 and sunny.
Oh, I was happy when it was 37 and above freezing today.
It's
I'm
like
very 40, jealous of you.
I know, but it's 40 degrees. Woot.
Well, I know.
But thank you so much for listening while you're on vacay in Cancun. And a reminder, too, when we started off the show, I got a request for some bumper music from one of our listeners. Always open to suggestions. If there's something that you want to hear, email us, text us, call us, leave a message on Twitter, wherever. We are always here for you.
Absolutely. And the email again is asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. And I got to be honest, I have gotten a lot of leads on stories that we should cover. And I am putting my journalist hat on to figure out how to vet some of these stories, because I think that is a really interesting way to take the show, because I think people feel like they have access to us and they know our personalities. And so as you are emailing us stuff that's happening in your communities, know that we're listening and we want to cover it. And I know that there's some stories I'm trying to work through right now to be able to just make sure that like we have the right people on.
Exactly.
And we're giving the full story. But the more we can talk about local issues and school boards and referenda and stuff that a lot of times isn't partisan. It's just part of the community and stuff that has to get done and accountability to the people who are making these decisions. And it's not about blue or red or left or right. And so those are the stories we want to continue to give airtime to. And so always email us whenever you have something like that, asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us.
And thank you.
Yeah, and thank you.
And thank you.
So that'll about do it for us today. Stick around for Luke and Brian on Dueling Tangents or the Chad Holmes Show. But come back again tomorrow at 11. We'll be here live. Mr. Greg Bach will be here. We'll have a very fun show. And it will once again be As Goes Wisconsin.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to
pvha.org. Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.